This is Up Your Brave on Reality Check Radio, Fridays, 10 a.m.
Hello, hello, everybody. Natalie Cutler-Welsh here. Welcome back to the Up Your Brave show. And this is a segment where I get to interview amazing people. Up Your Brave is all about courage, confidence, community, and connection. And today we're taking a focus on health. The topic of the show is empowered wellness. And I'm so thrilled to have Rach Bird here as our lovely expert today. She's a wellness mentor for women. She's a naturopath, a herbalist, and she is from Dunedin. Hello, Rach. Good to have you on the show.
Hey, it is fantastic to be here. Thank you.
So good to see you. Well, I say that you're from Dunedin, but I know you live in Havelock North. How are things? What is the pulse of the people down there?
Yeah, there's still a collective trauma in the air, I would say. We've been hit pretty hard. But, you know, I think the Kiwi spirit is very much to support everybody in our community. And yeah, we're seeing that a lot. So
that is awesome. I know that you work, I mean, you live in Havelock North, but like a lot of us, we kind of work around the world because of the digital capabilities. So I know that you're being a mentor for women. You help women all over the place. In fact, when researching you, I went and I was like, what should we talk about? Literally. So for our audience listening, you know, I did have someone email in last week, and please do email in with your requests about topics that you want to hear about. But I had someone email in wanting holistic health. And I said, well, don't you worry. I've got many people lined up, but look at all the things you do, Rachel. It's infertility, hormonal issues, IVF, baby loss, grief, alcohol addiction, maternal mental health crisis, burnout, adrenal fatigue, weight gain, weight loss, yo-yo dieting, bulimia, finding joy, pleasure, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you have such a wealth of knowledge. And I've also looked at your credentials, you know, Institute for Integrative Nutrition, et cetera, et cetera. amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, that's some of my own journey. It's been a long road to, you know, finding the oomph and the sparkle in my own life. And yeah, that's what I'm here to guide other women to. No matter what their past is, no matter what's happened, you know, shitty things happen and life happens, and we live in a world and a society that doesn't always support us as women, and hasn't for a long time. And so my desire and my calling here is to help women reconnect with that, cool, and make it work for 2023, because, you know, it's not actually necessarily, you know, I don't want to live in a hut with a whole lot of other huts in a village. So it's making the things that we get from community living relevant to how we live in 2023.
I think you're right. I think, you know, a lot of people that I speak with, they've been on their own journey. And quite often that's what we do as coaches or mentors. We help people to do what we've previously navigated. We had Lance Burdett as my guest last week. So if you guys missed it, check out the replay. But he talks about how he also suffered with depression and mental health, and now he helps people in that area. So you've obviously had a big journey yourself, and now you're kind of turning around and helping other people, which is amazing. And the reason we chose this topic, everybody, empowered wellness, is I feel like there's never been a better time to be the CEO of your own health and wellness and to really take charge of it. So one thing I would love to know, Rach, is what are the things, and maybe, I don't know, like four or five things that people come to you about the most often, you know, the frequently asked questions that most people are really struggling with?
Yeah, well, it's a really interesting question. And there are, you know, four or five things that women in particular come to see me for. And often they get a lot more. That's not necessarily what they need is the thing that they think. You know, they may come for weight loss, and because everything touches everything, it may in fact be something else that's going on, like they're burnt out, or they're just moving their body in a way that doesn't serve them, or whatever it is. But there are, you know, there are some key things. One of the key things is mood, whether that be anxiety or depression, or, you know, just getting really crotchety with your children, partner, whatever the mood thing is, And I think the one thing, I mean, and it's never just one thing, but the one thing that I talk to a lot in that area is finding joy.
Mm.
You know, finding joy, and we can find joy in everything, the tiny moments, even when things are really difficult and really, really trying. So, yeah, then I think a lot of people come for hormonal issues. Generally, you know, sex hormones like estrogen, progesterone, imbalancing, maybe it's menopause, maybe it's endometriosis, infertility, whatever it might be. And, you know, I always start at the beginning. The first place to start is with the hormone that's insulin, your blood sugar. Regulating your blood sugar, making sure that's serving you for, you know, and there's no one size fits all in this game. There is, we are all bio-individual, and yeah, so stabilizing blood sugar is the key to then stabilizing your other hormones, and it's a part that often gets missed. And the second one is then stress, you know, cortisol, which is related to the blood sugar. You know, like there's a whole, everything again, everything touches everything. And yeah, but that's where we start, because, you know, I used to work where the first thing would be to get someone to do a $500 test for their hormones. Well, that's great. Information absolutely is power. And if you chip away and you connect with women and you work with them and you walk with them, chances are they actually don't need to do the $500 test. You know, like it's a really interesting, it's an interesting thing. And I think as humans in the modern world, we want a quick fix. And you know, there just isn't one, especially for empowered wellness. And you're right, you know, it is absolutely time that we are CEOs of our own wellness. And another key one is, you know, gut things, bloating, diarrhea, I don't know, whatever it might be. There's a plethora of gut symptoms, if you will. And
gut is also related to stress, is it not? Like sometimes people are stressed, yes, and that shows up in the gut.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the gut, if you think about, you know, the gut, it's, yes, it's our stomach, but it's all, you know, the main part of the gut that we work with in this area is the small and large intestine. And if you think about where they are, they're sitting right for women, right in front of our womb space, right? That's the home of our bodies as women. And, you know, when we think about the gut, you know, we have like more than 50 trillion cells in the body, and there are more bacteria in the gut than we have cells, and yet we kind of don't look after it. And so, yeah, so it's getting women to center and to really, because, you know, we talk about symptoms, whatever that might be, whether it's gut or whatever, but really all they are is our body trying to talk to us. You know, our body doesn't have a voice. It can't say, oi, don't be doing that, I don't like it. So there are symptoms for our bodies, and it's just our body's voice trying to get us to listen to whatever's going on. And we absolutely can listen to our bodies, and we've just forgotten how to do it.
So I totally agree with you. I mean, do you find that a lot of people would, you know, in the Kiwi way, soldier on? Quite often they've got an injury, an ailment, or an emotion, and they're just like, oh, well, I'll just keep going, or, oh, well, that's what my mom had. So, you know, and they kind of do that. But now, hopefully now, after the last 3 years, especially, people are actually going, well, how do I want to feel? How do I want to show up? And how do I want to live my life? And it's so cool that I actually think it's kind of cool that they, you know, they come for one thing, weight loss or whatever, and then it's not really about the weight loss, you know. So, but at least they come. At least they knock on the door.
Yeah, of course. At least they come. And you know, the thing with weight loss in particular is to, before anything will shift, before you can release any density, you really do have to love the body that you're in. You know, I see it time and time again. And yes, there are fad diets and you can shed whatever and da-da-da, but it'll always, it comes back, because unless you really love this vessel that you've got, And by loving it is actually treating it well as well. That goes with love. Nothing will shift. You know, we have to, you know, we've forgotten how to love ourselves, particularly as women, I think. And yeah, that's the first thing that I talk to women about when they've come, when they come for weight loss or, you know, and off, you know, in that process, in that transformation, they find so many more things about themselves.
I mean, I'm just going to ask our listeners right now, if you want to up your own brave and just make a note to yourself, mental note, or write it down on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being not really, 5 being totally. How much do you love your body? Like, how much do you love your body, the vessel, as Rach said, that you've been given? Because I think you made a great point. So write it down, you guys, if you're listening. Rach, you made a great point, because some people will physically treat their body well, like they'll exercise and they'll eat all the right things, but they might talk real garbage, you know, to themselves, and vice versa. Someone might have a great mindset and great, you know, body talk as such, but they're feeding it the wrong thing. So I guess you probably help them to fuel, you know, do both.
Yeah, because there's, you know, I mean, I was actually talking to my brother about it just recently, and he was like, oh, there's three key things. There's sleep, exercise, and nutrition. Yes, and. Yes, that might be true, and. There's always an and. There is also, you know, a whole lot of things called primary foods. So the food that we put in our body that we know as traditionally as food is really a secondary food. And it can be organic, and it can be grass-fed, and it can be this, and it can be that. But if all the primary foods aren't met, you may as well be eating paper.
Okay, you know, what do you mean by that?
Foods,
primary.
Primary foods are like the way you move your body. You know, I don't really like to use the word exercise, because it has, I don't know, it has a whole lot of connotations and some people don't like it. It's about movement, the way you move your body. It's about creativity. Everybody's creative. It's about being able to express that somehow in your daily life. It's about finding joy. It's about pleasure. Heaven forbid that as women we would be allowed that. You know, like, it's about connections, having loving relationships in your life. It's about some kind of spiritual model. It doesn't really matter what it is, but having a connection. So there's those kinds of things. Those are primary foods, and we have forgotten about them. And so the whole thing about, yes, well, I eat this and I do this, and I, again, it's a very structured approach, and it doesn't really serve us.
I think that's so valuable. Thank you for that. Because what I love about this show is that my guests give us actionable tips and things we can do. I mean, yes, people are going to want to look you up and learn more, and that's cool. But I love that you know, giving us that list. I wrote them all down. So you guys, primary foods, as Rach calls them, movement, creativity, finding joy, pleasure, heaven forbid, connections, and spiritual model. Thank you. Because we do normally just go for the defaults, like, oh, exercise and diet and...
Yeah, but it does. That's, you know, like, if, so for example, if you, again, back to the weight loss or, you know, that scenario, you've got someone who lives by themselves. They do all the things. They've just been to the gym. They've eaten, you know, as they say, correctly, or whatever you want to call it. And they come home to an empty flat, to loneliness, to no connection, and they open their fridge.
Mm-hmm.
What? Like, you can step into that human. What are they going to do? Like, that's why it all becomes connected. It's about meeting all of those needs. And, you know, I'm not suggesting that we get to be, you know, 10 out of 10 creative every day, or, you know, because it's a very fluid thing, but it's about acknowledging that we have a lot of other needs that are just not getting met with the sleep, exercise, and food scenario. Mm-hmm. And there's another whole thing about that, is that there's, you know, there's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad food. You know, people we like to label things as good or bad, but the only bad food is the stuff that's growing, I don't know, white and green stuff on it in the fridge, or blue, or something that gives you an anaphylactic shock. Other than that, it's just information. It's information for your body, and your body will have a different response to different information. If you feed it a fresh organic carrot, it will be different information than if you give it a cream bun or a Twinkie or whatever it is in the world that you are in. You know, like, it's just information, and it's about finding, and it's not about good or bad, because the other thing that happens when we label food or alcohol or whatever it is as good or bad, we're giving that thing the power. Is what I work a lot with women is about. It's about choice. You just choose. You know, my relationship with alcohol has been long and yeah, colorful, let's say. And when I finally chose, when I realized that it wasn't about, I'm in my head, it would be like, oh, I'm not allowed. I've given up. I've this, you know, that
discipline, deprivation.
Deprivation always ends in a binge, no matter how long it is down the track. It always does, because the, you know, we have a very interesting connection with the word addiction. But let's be honest, we're all addicted to many things, you know, social media or coffee or our phones or whatever it is. But the opposite of addiction is not abstinence. The opposite of addiction is connection. And that's the missing piece. Because, you know, I'd given up alcohol many times, but I always went back because it was all about the alcohol had the power. Like, I've given up, I'm not allowed. And then one day I woke up and went, oh, it's about choice. I choose not to do that in my world because I can't live the life I want if I'm drinking. Now, again, alcohol's not good or bad, just for me. It wasn't serving me. It's always about what's serving us and what's not. And sometimes we need help walking through that, because as women particularly, we are not designed to do this gig of life on our own. We just aren't. You know, there's all this talk about it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it actually takes a village to care for and nurture the woman, whether they're mums or not, but particularly if they're mums, you know, like, it takes a village. And we've like just dropped that ball completely. Like, you know, you have your baby, you go home, your partner, if you've got a partner, they go back to work and that's it. See ya. You know, like, that's not how we're designed from a physiological, a sociological, a psychological point of view. We're just not. We are collective and connected beings as women, particularly.
And everyone does need a village. And I will do a show in the future focusing more on men, because that is also another area I am concerned with. Lonely men, and men need a village as well. And especially, you know, as the kids get older, it's like, you don't really meet people at the park. You don't really go to school drop off. So it's really just, who do you work with and who do you remember from high school? So I totally agree with you on the village. I love what you said about the opposite of addiction is not abstinence, it's connection. I think that's really helpful reminder. And empowered, I'm so obsessed with empowered choices. When I talk about, you know, empowered wellness, empowered choices and intentional actions, meaning doing things you genuinely want to do. And you mentioned about exercise, and some people don't like that word. It's like, well, yeah, because they probably live in the should zone around it. They probably go, I bought this pass for the gym and I really should go because I already spent the money, and it's all this guilt and around it. But empowered choices would mean some sort of exercise or movement that you genuinely want to do, that lights you up, and therefore it's exciting and it brings you joy and brings you pleasure, two of the other words you talked about. And maybe for me, at least, it's going to a fitness class where I also get the connection, you know? So, so many good points, Rachel. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, because, you know, movement can be, you know, and I think you used the word intentional. You know, there was a study done in Harvard, quite a few years ago with housemaids or women that were, they happened to be mainly women making beds and stuff. And these women wanted to lose weight. Again, we're on the weight loss thing, not because that's what I do, but because it seems to be a thing that keeps coming up. And they split them into two groups, and they talked to these women about intentional movement and thinking about their bodies as they were doing their work and actually, you know, putting their shoulders in a different position, you know, that was functional, that was designed, you know, like not all, anyway, it was all about intention. And those people that were in the intention group, they started to lose weight and to be well-er. And their blood work, which is another thing I'm pretty passionate about, is, you know, looking at people's blood work analysis, is they started to improve. And it's about intention. Now, that's not the same as just thinking about something and expecting it to happen. Like, you know, there's the manifestation's a big buzzword, but you still have to buy the ticket. You still have to do the do. You can't just sit in a corner and manifest and look at your vision board and not do the action. You still have to do it. So it's, yeah, it's interesting. It's absolutely the movement, you know, and for me, and I'm not suggesting I can dance, because if you were in my living room, you would know that to be not true, but dancing, you know, music and moving your body, it doesn't have to be going to that gym or going for a run. It's whatever, you know, I worked out a few years ago, there is absolutely the perfect exercise for everybody. And that is whatever gets them off the sofa. You know, for some people it is running. You know, the only thing I say about running is for some people yes, it can be amazing for their endorphins and all of the other things that it does physiologically. And your body doesn't differentiate running from a lion from running recreationally. So when you're running, you're still producing cortisol. So as long as you've got all your other things sorted and that's not going to be an issue, knock your socks off, go for your life, run a marathon. But, you know, it's just something to consider. And I talk to women about that too, because it's, you know, often people that they're exercising in a certain way or moving in a certain way that's just not serving them. And so they're still so exhausted and they're still not feeling great and they can't understand why. And it's about what's serving them. And it's the same with food that we put in our mouth. Some of food will serve you and some won't. It's not about one type of food being good or bad. It's just about what's serving you or not.
You know, coming, you made so many good points about the running thing. On that, I did have someone say to me a few years ago, well, you know, Nat, most people run so they can have dessert. And I was like, really? No, I don't think so. I think most people run because they like the wind on their face and they like to get from A to B. And maybe for me, if I was to go running, I would have to, it would be an adventure. I'd never do the same route, you know, 3 days in a row. And I would just see where I end up. And I love running off trails and things. I don't really run. I used to be a big runner. I actually represented Canada in high school, went to France and all the things. But I don't want to run anymore. And I don't, and I don't feel bad about it. And I don't make myself, you know, feel like I should run because genetically I can. My dad was actually a Kiwi Olympian. So I feel like we put this pressure on ourselves, right? So it's either, why are you running? So you can have dessert? Well, maybe find something that brings you more joy than just that.
Or have the dessert.
Yes, you know, don't feel bad about it.
You know, it's just it's that whole guilt and shame and, you know, and it's all about choice. It's always about choice. But if you're going to have the dessert, enjoy the dessert, you know, that's the key.
That is the key. You know, something else you talk about, is getting back your sparkle. So what does that mean to you?
Getting back your sparkle, it means, you know, waking up. And I'm not saying that life doesn't get in the way, but I'm talking about waking up the majority of the time and going, oh, wow, life is good. I love my life. You know, that's the sparkle, right? The joie de vivre, the oomph in your day. And yes, it comes with having, you know, energy and having clarity and your eyes being bright and your skin looking great, because that's part of sparkle, right? Like it's, and I'm not talking about, you know, it's not about how we look and it has to be perfect and all of that. I'm talking about that thing that when you see someone who's really vital, you go, ooh, I want that sparkle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Vibrant. And also I feel like, you know, I know you and I both know about human design. Quite often people that sparkle are people that are living in alignment, which means they're doing what they feel called to do and they desire. They're not doing things driven from guilt and comparisonitis. That's another one. I mean, you know, a lot of people, but men and women, I feel like they compare, oh, I really should do this because everyone else, or why can't I keep up with everyone else who's whatever it might be, you know, running races or entering different competitions. I had quite a few friends a few years ago. They were all entering these bodybuilding competitions, you know, and some people might be like, oh, well, maybe I should enter. And it, you know, do it if you feel called, but if you don't, just allow other people to follow their own path.
Yeah, because comparison, no matter what it's about, comparison is the thief of joy. And we're here for joy, right? Joy is part of the sparkle. You start comparing yourself, you start comparing your thighs or your how you look in the tracksuit or whatever it is. You start comparing anything, it robs you of your joy immediately in that moment. So same with comparing, you know, like you're saying you had a lot of friends doing XYZ. Well, if it doesn't light you up when you think about it, don't do it. So yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad. Let's not go down that wormhole.
Yeah. So you mentioned stress before, and you mentioned energy. So is energy one of those things that a lot of people want more of?
Yeah, because you know, the modern world is I don't mean to keep harping back to women, but I work with women only. So
harp away.
We are spinning plates. So if you can imagine like someone in a circus, they've just got all these plates on sticks and we're just spinning more and more plates, and then someone will give us another plate. And it's like, oh, and you see that this is, you know, the word balance, just balance your work and your stress life. Well, actually it doesn't really work like that, because if you look up what balance means, it just means, you know, every time you add something in, you just got to make room for it. Well, that's not really what we want. We want to put down some of those plates, because if you keep spinning plates like that as women, what you end up with is a big pile of broken crockery at some point. And I'm not, you know, pointing the stick, but that's just what happens. It's happened to me more than once. Like the more plates you keep trying to spin, though, we have to learn how to say no. We have to actually learn how to choose us. And we've been brought up in a model that is somehow selfish. Well, you know, that's just nonsense. Because if we cannot care for ourselves, as particularly as mums, but as women, we cannot care for anybody else. We can't do any of the other things that we're supposed to be doing or want to be doing, including our jobs and our clients and our mums and our brothers and our families and our kids and all the rest of it. You have got to fill your own cup first. And we talk about it a lot. And then, you know, people will go, oh, well, I had a massage or I did a face mask. Well, that's not what self-love is. Self-love is actually putting yourself first. You know, it's an interesting, and I, you know, I'm in the journey too. I have a husband who doesn't really get it. And, you know, I have kids that have needs and all the rest of it. And if I'm not putting myself first, all of the other things, you know, plates start to crack.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's interesting about the self-care point, you know, but I got a massage, and which is helpful. And I do love a massage. Sometimes that's therapeutic. Sometimes that's pampering. That is important. But the difference is, you know, sometimes it's just adding another plate. Oh, I got to squeeze in the massage. So I guess you're saying that getting rid of things that don't serve us, to use your languaging from earlier, is that right?
Yes, because absolutely get the massage, you know, that, yes. And I see a lot of women where things are just getting ticked off, right? Oh, I meditated today. Oh, I got up at 5 so that I could do da 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 da. And then, like you say, I fit in the massage, and I'll fit in yoga, but I'm going to rush there, I'm going to rush back, and I'm going to get myself into a complete sweat, and my cortisol is going to go through the roof. And then when I get home, I'm going to yell at my kids because I forgot to put dinner on, and blah, 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 and then on it goes. So we have to declutter our lives. And you know, you talk about human design, and that's one of the things. It's doing the things that light you up. And getting rid of some of those things that don't, because we are not supposed to be doing everything. Just because we can, it doesn't mean we should. You know, and you know, the suffragette movement and the women's lib movement, they did a phenomenal amount of things for us. And there was a missing piece that we are not men. It's not supposed to be about equality. It's we need to nurture us and how we ought to be living, which is not running on a rat race and just adding more and more and more and more to our plate, because it ends with the big pile of broken crockery. And I've seen it, you know, I've seen it for my own life, but I've seen it for hundreds of clients. Mm-hmm. It's and yeah.
So for our listeners, you know, whether you're listening live or to the replay, if you feel called to up your brave, maybe make a little no list for yourself. Three things that you're just not going to do anymore. So whether that is, you know, a habit that you have or a obligation that you've got that actually is really more of a drain that you don't even want to do, it's in the should zone for you, maybe put it on your no list.
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, we do need it. We do need a decent no list.
And we can add to it as we go. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of lists. Oh, this is a lovely segue. Thank you so much. So some of you might know, I have a segment called Bucket List Busters, where I get people to, or I invite people to email in and share with us a few, one to two things on their bucket list. I read them out. And then if there's someone in the community, meaning any of our listeners, that can help them out through connections, through courage, through confidence or inspiration to actually achieve one of those things on their list. That's what it's all about. So Rach, my question for you is, what is one thing on your bucket list for that's important to you that you want to do?
The thing on my bucket list is I desire to live by the sea, looking out onto the sea. And it's not, you know, necessarily something that your listeners can assist with, except from a communal manifestation process. Mm-hmm. And I think that, that the bucket list, it's a beautiful thing to have. And I think you and I have talked about this before. It's not about something that we do when we're 90.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, being able to do that at any time in our lives.
Well, it's like said about the vision board. You don't, like, I literally was at a vision board workshop this weekend, which was amazing, taking 6 hours on a Sunday to just immerse. It was amazing. But it's not just like, okay, done that. It's like you actually, now it's sending out energetically, but also doing the things, or, you know, taking empowered actions to create those things in your life. So same thing with the bucket list. It's like, let's just not wait till you're on your deathbed.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. And that's my desire for my husband and I to wake up and open the curtains and look at the sea.
Amazing. And so it is.
And so it is.
That's so great. Okay. My next question that I love to ask my guests is, what is one thing that you have done, achieved, or experienced in the past year where you truly upped your brave?
Well, I got to tell you, the thing that I did that upped my brave the most was doing a naked photo shoot with an incredible woman in Rotorua. And that was incredibly empowering, and she was amazing, and it was scary, and I had to be very brave.
Yeah, awesome.
With my 54-year-old body that has been through a lot, and the beauty that came out of that, and that, you know, I'm an absolute passionate believer that our bodies are beautiful. They are. They deserve to be absolutely adored by us. Our physical vessels, they are beautiful creations, and part of loving them is looking after them. But yeah, that was very brave for me. Getting my kit off.
Yeah. You know what I just wrote down? I just wrote down for you. I'm going to add this to your general introductions, body love warrior or body love advocate. Cause you keep mentioning that. It's a theme.
Yeah, no, it is a theme. And I'm incredibly, I am passionate about it. It's taken me I don't know, like I'm 50, nearly 56. It probably took me the first 53 years of my life to really love my body, like to love it. And yeah, for lots of different reasons. And yeah, we all, that's the thing that's missing. So, you know, that they talk about the community that we used to have. We used to celebrate our bodies. We used to have rites of passage and rituals, and you know, we've lost all of that stuff, and consequently we're kind of flailing about by ourselves, which is why I do a lot of work with women in groups, because the community and working, the connection of other women together is very, very, very powerful.
Well, that actually leads me to my last question, which is so great. So I know we bring women together in communities, creating the village as such, maybe online. So you've got something called Thrive. Tell me a little bit about what does Thrive mean to you, and what is your Thrive? I think it's a program that you've got as well.
Yeah, it is. A program that I run, which is called Thrive. But thriving to me is what we talked about before. It's having the sparkle, the oomph, and it's not about not having XYZ. You know, like I have a very bad ankle injury situation from a motorcycle accident years ago. So, and I still can thrive. I can still move my body. I can still have the sparkle. I can still, you know, thriving is not about perfection. There is no such thing. Thriving is about amplifying what we've got and absolutely being empowered in our own bodies and wellness. That's what thriving is. And so, yeah, and thriving to me is not tolerating. You know, I think particularly as women, we tolerate things, you know, lots of things. And it's about stopping tolerating and starting living. And so, yeah, I run it's a 5-month program. It's online because, you know, I have women in it from all different parts of the world, and we get together once a week. And there's also other spots for connection during the week. And it's, I guess, my expertise and my experience and as well as the connection with all the other women. And there's, you know, there's VIP options where people work with me one-on-one and we go through all of their very specific things. And there's some women are in the group and, you know, I cover all of the, you know, the physiological stuff about food and sleeping and joy and all of the things. Yeah.
All the stuff we talked about today. That's so awesome. Okay, well, where can people find you so people can check that out and just follow you generally? Are you on Instagram? What's your website?
I am on Instagram, which is, you know, when you said the Brave thing, that's another thing Brave that I've done in the last year is, you know, have a business online at the age of 55. It is Rach, R-A-C-H, and then the underscore, and then Bird, B-I-R-D, and the underscore. That's on Instagram. That's my handle, I believe it's called.
You got the lingo. That's awesome.
And Rach Bird is on Facebook. It's
amazing. Thank you so much. All right, Rach, before we wrap things up, is there anything else that you want to share or highlight to our listeners?
Not really. It's been incredible. This has been fun. I guess just that it's all available to us. You know, this wellness, this joy, this thing, it's absolutely available to us. And sometimes we just need to be walked with as women to achieve what we want. Yeah. So thank you for having me.
That's awesome. And thank you for your wisdom. I know you've got so much more to share, but if you guys want to find out more, you can check out Rach on Instagram or Facebook. And so thanks so much for being here with us today, Rach.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Up Your Brave with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on RCR, Reality Check Radio.